Ask God. Trust Him. In those little things, learn to thank Him for what He did. And see God there. To see God in the little things. Don't just see Him in the big universe He's created. See God in the little things that happen in your life. His provision for you. Because He loves you. You're one of His special favorites. I like to tell people, you know, I'm one of God's special favorites. They say, you're lucky, Brother Zach. I say, you're also, by the way, not just me. Because the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 2, he who touches you, touches the apple of God's eye, or sticks a finger in God's eye. People dare not touch me, because they are sticking a finger in God's eye. I believe that. We are ordinary people, but if you love God, He's got a special care for you. He'll care for you through thick and thin. He will care for you as you drive down the road and protect you. All types of situations. In all the 46 years that I rode a scooter, I can think of numerous angels who pushed people out of the way so that I don't have an accident. I never had one. That's God's provision. Little things. His provision, because He's got a plan for my life and He's got a plan for your life. What am I saying this for? So that your faith will be built up, that as you look at the future, like we sing in that song, His love for me in time past assures me that in the future He will not let me sink. He didn't let me sink all these years. Why should He let me sink in the future? He's not going to carry me halfway through the river and say, oh, I didn't know you were so bad, and let me drown there. No. Before He chose you, He knew every stupid thing that you would ever do. Isn't that a comfort to know that? All the foolish things you're going to do next year, 10 years from now, you think God's going to be surprised and say, oh, no, I never knew you'd do that. He already knew, brother. He still chose you. I sometimes like to ask husbands who've been married a few years, supposing you knew before marriage all the stupid things your wife was going to do and the way she's going to behave, would you still have married her? I'd like to know. Perhaps not. But God knew all the stupid, foolish things we were going to do, and He still decided to marry us. Jesus says, I want to marry you. That's what makes me love Him with all my heart. Because He knew all the foolish, stupid things I would do after I gave my life to Him. And He hasn't changed His mind. Won't you love a husband like that? Who says to his wife, darling, I knew every single stupid thing you were going to do, but I still wanted you to be my wife. Any wife would love a husband like that. That's why I love Jesus. He provides for us. He's provided ahead of time. That's what we see here. And I tell you, I could go through the whole Old Testament and give you numerous examples like this. God's provision. I'll give you just one more. You've got to look for these little things when you read the Bible. Don't just quickly read through as a story and go on. Here's another example in Exodus in chapter 15. It says here in verse 22, this is just after they came out of Egypt. They had just come out of Egypt. The Red Sea was open and closed up behind them. And they came out from the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness. They were 3 days in the wilderness, Exodus 15:22. And they came to a place called Marah. And there was a river flowing there. But as they're all hungry, imagine walking in a desert for 3 days without water. And as they stooped to drink it, the water was so bitter, they spat it out. They couldn't drink it. They were frustrated, and they grumbled, Moses, why have you brought us out here? At least in Egypt we got some water. And he cried out to the Lord. This is the verse I want you to see, verse 25. The water is flowing there, it's bitter. All these 2 million Israelites have got no water to drink. And they are looking up to Moses, the leader. And the Lord says, look at that tree there. Cut it down. Throw it in the water, and the water became sweet. Is that just a story? When I read that, I ask myself, who planted that tree there in a desert? Who plants trees in the desert? If you see a tree planted in a house, you can understand the man planted it. Who planted it in the desert? God. Do trees grow up in one night? No, it takes some years for a tree to grow up. Maybe 5-10 years ago, God planted a tree by that river 10 years earlier when his children were still slaves in Egypt. Why? Because he knew 10 years from now, my children, Israel, will come to this spot and they need something to make these waters sweet. So I'll put a tree here that's got some ability to make bitter water sweet. You see God's provision there? That's why I say don't read the Bible so fast. Stop, think, read, and you'll see stories that stir your faith, that give an answer to your difficult situation when you face one like that. That's helped me. I mean, I've seen that for 40 years and many times I've thought of that. Lord, now I've come to some bitter situation in my life. I'm looking around, where's the tree? There must be some provision here that you made 10 years ago. I don't know where it is, but you'll show it to me. And there always is a provision to make the bitter water sweet. There always is a provision to meet our need. This is the whole Old Testament is full of stories like that. You read the book of Esther. Do you know that the book of Esther is the only book in the Bible where the word God is not mentioned? 65 books have got God mentioned, and Esther, the word God is not even mentioned. But throughout the book, you can see God hidden behind the scenes, working in the little actions. There was a prime minister there who wanted to kill all the Jews. What happens that night? God prevents the king from sleeping. That prime minister wants to kill Mordecai, who is the one who refuses to bow down to him. And the king can't sleep. You know, God has got ways of keeping people awake. If God keeps you awake one night, you better wake up and say, what are you trying to say to me, Lord? There must be something. So the king woke up and he said, how to go to sleep? Maybe the best way to go to sleep is read the boring history books. So he said, bring all the history books. Let's read that and let me get some sleep. So they start reading the history books to the king. And in the history books of the empire, they read that Mordecai at one time saved the king from being killed by his bodyguards or someone. He said, really? I didn't know that. Or I forgot about it. What have we done to honor him? Nothing. We want to honor him. And at that very moment, that wicked man Haman comes into the king's court, you know, to ask the king's permission to kill Mordecai. I like the timing of God, how he comes in at that time. And before Haman can open his mouth, the king says, what shall we do to honor someone who as the king loves? And Haman thought, of course, that must be me. He says, make him go on a bright horse and let some leading person lead the person on a horse and say, thus will the king honor anybody whom he loves. He said, exactly. Get a horse and put Mordecai on it and you lead the horse and take him through. God's sense of humor. It's absolutely wonderful. This is my dad, by the way, who I'm talking about. And your dad. Do you know him like that? Do you know him as one who provides for all your needs?